Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Hello, America, and welcome back to The Savage Truth. Great to see you. I am Cicely Davis. Thank you for joining me. Political terrorism, political lawfare. These are the things, these are the concepts and tactics in politics now, folks. It's not the future. This is now. Lawfare, political lawfare is now. It's the way of the future. If we are not willing on the conservative side to meet our Democratic opponents where they are, fighting fire with fire, then we need to just surrender and give up the republic, give up our freedom, give up our way of life, give up America to the communist hacks. Okay, clearly I'm all fired up today. Clearly got some things on my mind that I want to address. So let's get into that. Let's do that right away. If you're new here, as always, welcome. Those returning, thank you for joining me as well. Please, as I always ask, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into it. Political warfare, as I said, political lawfare, dirty, evil, unscrupulous tactics, maneuvers that are meant to cancel, slander, shame, embarrass, demean, hurt, harass, and embarrass. That's what the Dems are willing to do, folks, on a continuous and relentless basis. And unprecedented. Why unprecedented? Why do I say that? Well, here, let me give you some examples. Letitia James, New York Attorney General, a communist hack, attempts to steal $454 million of Trump's wealth in a fake case. A political terrorist. This is what she is, a political terrorist. Unprecedented. When I say unprecedented, I think of Peter Navarro, who headed off to prison on the 19th in Miami. He's an ex-White House aide to the President Trump. And he made this point, and I quote, "I just want you all to understand, an advisor to a president, this has never happened in modern day history. Getting locked up for claiming executive privilege and challenging on separation of powers in congressional subpoena. This has never happened." It's never happened until March 19th of 2024. "I am the first senior advisor in the history of our republic that has ever been charged with this alleged crime. And I say alleged because for hundreds of years, this has not been a crime. And for 50 years, the Department of Justice has maintained the principle of absolute testimonial immunity. And it was only my case somehow that has changed." So before reporting to jail, Navarro spoke for 30 minutes at a gas station and called the case against him unprecedented assault on the constitutional separation of powers. He claimed that the legal tactics that were used against him would be used against Trump. And I quote again, "I'm pissed. And that's what I'm feeling right now." Well, I'm pissed with him. Navarro concluded, "God bless you all. See you on the other side." The question is, what do we do? What do we do? We need to accept who and what we're up against and fight fire with fire. It's just that time now. It's the only way to combat these tactics. We need to turn around and use the same tactics that are being used against us on them. Otherwise, nothing will change. Nothing will change. If we do not use the same tactics being used against us, nothing will change. We should also be looking people up for congressional subpoenas. Now, we have plenty of legitimate cases, things that have occurred and legitimate occurrences to investigate. But here's the problem. We don't seem to have Republicans who actually have the stomach to carry out the cutthroat necessary tactics to ensure the republic stays intact. Why do I say that? Well, let's just do some comparisons. Today, I'm going to refrain from giving that typical report of political events. We've all heard all of this stuff. We're all current on the events for the most part, what's going on. But it's more about contrasts and comparisons today. And I need to do that to drive my point home. Dems will only learn when they experience these tactics themselves. NBC cuts ties with former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel. Now, this is tactics, folks. Now, to be honest, cutthroat honest, I actually don't give two hoots about Ronna McDaniel or her unemployment status. I mean, if I can be honest, I got no support from the RNC during my run against the most hateful anti-American America-hating figure in Congress, Ilhan Omar, during midterm election years, and I couldn't care less, truly. I'm talking more about Democratic tactics. So NBC News has reversed its decision to hire former Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel as a political analyst after network executives faced a chorus of fierce on-air criticism. Upon hearing about the hiring of Ronna, Rachel Maddow opened her show on Monday night, complaining and urging NBC News execs to change their minds about hiring McDaniel. Here's what Maddow said. I find the decision to put her on the payroll inexplicable, and I hope they will reconsider that decision. Both Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow rejoiced, of course, after receiving the news that their network boss had decided to drop Ronna McDaniel. Joy Reid said when she heard about it, the hiring of McDaniel ahead of a 2024 election in which Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee, as we all know, and I quote, is capitulating to an autocrat in advance. She said this, yes, we will take your apparatchik and allow them to be elevated and platform with us, with journalists. Joy Reid considers herself a respectable journalist. That's a laugh. She actually considers herself a respectable journalist. Nicole Wallace, who anchors Deadline White House on MSNBC and is a former White House communications director under President George W. Bush, said McDaniel's appearance would embolden election deniers. This was her comment. She went on to say, what we've also said to election deniers is not just that they can do that on our airwaves, but they can do that as one of us, a badge-carrying employee of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves. This is what she said, our sacred airwaves. Wallace, who was critical of the party under Trump. MSNBC's Morning Joe co-host Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski said that they would not ask McDaniel to be a guest. And I quote, to be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. Brzezinski told viewers, and I quote, but it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. And what does NBC Universal News Group cowardly chairman Cesar Conde do? What did he do? He sends an apologetic memo to staffers Tuesday morning announcing that McDaniel was officially out. Of course, NBC Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow were thrilled to hear the news and couldn't wait to share their excitement on air with their viewers. Here's what this cowardly executive sent in a memo. I mean, you absolutely have to hear this. I can't believe this. There is no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news group. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be on NBC News contributor. I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. While this was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, I approved it and take full responsibility for it. Now, again, I could care less. Ronna McDaniel, in my opinion, was a moderate at best, and that's still giving her a compliment. But this is so cowardly, it's unbelievable. Now, Conde said the initial decision was made due to the network's deep commitment to presenting our audiences with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences, particularly during these consequential times. Apparently, the big boss could not uphold the network's so-called value for diverse viewpoints as he quickly succumbed to the whines of his far-left hosts, who have been furiously calling for McDaniel's ousting since her first appearance as a contributor. Now, apparently, Ronna McDaniel will be suing for mental distress. According to Politico, McDaniel expects to be fully paid out for her contract 2 years at $300,000 annually, since she did not breach its terms, according to a person close to McDaniel. That means that her single, not quite 20-minute interview Sunday could cost NBC more than $30,000 per minute or $500 per second. But I said tactics, folks, tactics. They are willing to face lawsuits in order to win. This is what they're willing to do in order to maintain their position, in order to maintain their viewpoints. But forgetting all the opinions of Maddow, forgetting all the opinions of Reed, the Morning Joe host, Nicole Wallace, can you imagine having an executive, the boss, to succumb to the talent, succumb to the employees? NBC Universal just let America know who's in charge there. And now we all know. We all know who's in charge. It's the far left wing media. And while we still try to be objective and take in others for the sake of giving viewers a full perspective on the other side, they say, hell no. If we don't agree with them, and we will bully our own bosses to get our way. That's the message. Tactics, ladies and gentlemen, tactics, okay? We need to develop some spine, some viciousness. It's what I meant when I said in the last episode, ruthless. Again, not unethical, not illegal, but definitely ruthless. We shouldn't accept anybody's explanation as fact if they can't back it up with receipts, period. Here's ruthless. This feels good to report. Here's some ruthlessness right here. Ron DeSantis of Florida. Ron DeSantis canceled DEI in schools and colleges, and now he signed a law to end the squatter scam to protect homeowners. This is ruthless. Yes, Ron DeSantis eliminates squatters' rights in Florida, gives powers to cops to remove offenders. As the Biden administration continues to allow illegals to invade our country, illegals have become more and more emboldened to commit crimes with the understanding that law enforcement in the U.S. is either afraid, they're either too weak, or it's non-existent altogether. But DeSantis passed a bill. Now, before the bill's passage, squatters in Florida, as well as in states across the country from coast to coast, were considered tenants and required legal property owners to launch lengthy court battles to legally remove inhabitants, illegal occupants from a home. This is absolutely incredible. But thanks to DeSantis, who is one of the fighters in our country on our side, who is willing to be unapologetically ruthless, signed legislation into law that eliminates squatters' rights in the Sunshine State and increases penalties against offenders. No wonder everybody's flocking to Florida. He said in a press conference on the signing in Orlando, and I quote, "You're not going to be able to commandeer somebody's private property and expect to get away with it. We are in the state of Florida, ending the squatter scam once and for all." Ruthless. The law will take place July 1st. DeSantis noted ahead of the signing that he believes Florida is the first state in the nation to take squatting issues head on. Ruthless, ladies and gentlemen. Lawmakers in the state of Florida overwhelmingly voted in support of the bill earlier this month, sending it to DeSantis' office. The law outlines that squatters will face criminal charges for illegally moving into a home and allows property owners to file an affidavit showing they legally own a property. Under the new law, property owners can now call on the sheriff's office to immediately remove squatters from their homes if the suspects are unable to produce documents authorizing their residency by the property owner. The law will give the homeowner the ability to quickly and legally remove a squatter from a property, and which will increase criminal penalties for squatting. The law establishes harsher penalties against those who participate in squatting crimes, including leveling a second-degree felony charge against squatters who damage a home, a first-degree felony charge against those who fraudulently sell or lease a property, and a misdemeanor charge against those who purposely present a fraudulent lease. DeSantis specifically called out California and New York for rampant squatting issues, saying the blue states protect squatters, while the state of Florida will crack down and consider them criminals, what they actually are. Let's just say that we can unmistakably label the state of Florida as ruthless. That's a model for us. And as the Dems get laughed out of their attempt to push Bloodbathgate, you remember that whole thing, they are at least, and lucky for us, not that smart. When it comes to this warfare, in that they at least give us their tactics and tell us what they're doing. Just listen to them, folks. All you got to do is listen. They actually will tell us what they're going to do, which gives us no excuse at all not to win. Now, it's not exactly a win I am by no means celebrating because, after all, it is a fake lawsuit and shouldn't be happening altogether. But Trump, as you know, by way of New York appeals court, had his bond cut to $175 million with 10 days to post. Meanwhile, Trump's popularity continues to increase as the far left literally hates him into the presidency, making him to be the ultimate victim of lawfare. Everyone being able to see that this is clear political warfare against him, and they just want to run to his aid to support him. So in this case, we say, thank you far left, thank you communist hacks, for making him even more popular. Thank you for that. This is truly strategically, tactically foolish on their part. He gains free coverage for every case outside of the courthouse. He knows where to be and when, where he gains time on camera to make his statements. Americans can see him as a victim without a doubt. He raises more money. His rally attendance continues to grow, and Biden's approval continues to decrease every single time. And they continue to do this failing tactic, but they are relentless, and this is what we need to focus on. So even though they're failing, they are at least relentless, and that is what we need to focus on, truly. Yeah, I'm going to say our far-left enemies are not very smart. They have shallow, lame tactics, but they are relentless. And in contrast, Donald Trump is smart. He shows up at the hearings, he gets a judgment in his favor, and then he comes out of the courthouse and goes straight to the cameras to get his statement in. What is that? That's free press. He's smart as a victim of lawfare, and everyone loves him for it because he understands it's important to take every opportunity to speak to the press. He knows they will put the camera in his face. He says what he wants, and that's the last word. He gets the last word off, then goes off to a rally, raises a bunch of money, and then after this last decision, his net worth goes up to $6.5 billion. This is a smart man. Ruthless, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I mean. Am I getting my point across? Are you getting me here? Listen, according to Kiplinger.com, Donald Trump's net worth hits $6.5 billion despite legal woes. It was boosted by Trump Social's stock deal. Former President Donald Trump is thrust into the world's wealthiest 500 people on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. And I absolutely love this. Donald Trump has entered Bloomberg's list of top 500 global billionaires after Truth Social became part of a publicly traded company. The former president's net worth has risen to $6.5 billion, as I said, in spite of everything going on in his life, including a number of outstanding charges against him. So on Monday, Trump Media and Technology Group Corporation merged with Digital World Acquisition Corporation. Trump Media runs the social media platform Truth Social and has now taken Digital World's place on the NASDAQ stock exchange. Shares of Trump's social media company jumped more than 35% on the first day of trading on the NASDAQ, gaining $13.01 to close at $49.95. The stock created such a frenzy on the first day of trading that NASDAQ briefly halted its trading just 2 minutes after it began for the day. Can I give you some ruthless details? Okay, on Tuesday, as of 1:10 p.m., Donald J. Trump was trading at $71.86. That's up more than 40%, capitulating the value of Trump's holdings, 78.75 million shares in the company. That's good news for the beleaguered former president and for small-time investors who bought shares to show loyalty to the former president or those simply hoping to cash in on the frenzy. And as a result, Trump is now among the 500 richest people in the world. Now, he wasn't there before this ridiculous lawsuit. This is savage, savage. Let me give you the quick set highlights of this, okay, so you get a full understanding. Following the Truth Social merger, Trump now ranks among the 500 richest people in the world, as I said. Trump joined the Bloomberg Billionaires Index for the first time with a net worth of $6.5 billion. Trump launched Truth Social in February of 2022, 1 year after he was banned from major social platforms, including Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. Truth Social currently has around 5 million users, well below the traffic of social media sites such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and X. And here's the savage result of all of this. In a March 22nd post on Truth Social, Trump said he currently has almost $500 million in cash, liquid. Meanwhile, a Mitchell MIRS poll released Friday shows Trump with a 3% lead in blue state Michigan over Joe Biden. Thank God for not so smart opponents. But remember, folks, they are relentless. They may not be smart, but we have to respect their hustle. This proves, however, we need to be as well. This is a great place to end on a high note because we need to take solace and good news wherever we can get it, right? But let me say this clearly. The Republican Party is changing. That's clear. And as sad, weak, spineless, and cowardly it is that we have Republicans who are leaving their posts right now, like Buck of Colorado and Wisconsin Representative Mike Gallagher, who announced he'll be ending his term as of April 19th, leaving a vacancy in Congress at an obvious critical time, leaving a slim one-vote majority Republican hold with his departure. These moves are deliberate. You see, under Wisconsin law, a congressional seat vacated before April 2nd of the election year would trigger a special election. Now, since Gallagher is planning to leave office April 19th, there would be no special election to replace him, and a seat would have to be then filled the next general election in November. Savage truth. This is deliberate, folks, and I am pissed off about it. We have an opportunity to get law and order back in our country, to get common sense back in this country, to shut down the Communist Party that exists in this country, to shut down the plantation known as the Democratic Party. We have an opportunity to get definitions back, simple ones like male and female and gender and mother and father, to close or shut down lame lies and theories like white fragility, the 1619 Project, intersectionality, critical race theory, and white nationalism. We need to see this for what it is. This is the swamp and the rhino's way to backstab their constituents and the Republican voters one more time. To line up, knowing that as Trump's popularity continues to grow and he gains the independent vote, as he gains the black vote, Hispanics, suburban votes, Republican rhinos will bow out so that when he takes office, there will be, as they are hoping, a majority in House and Senate as led by Chuck Schumer and Jeffries. There should be a demand that he lead before April 2nd date, since he's decided to leave anyway, to trigger a special election. We need ruthless answers to these tactics. Letitia James got her teeth kicked in because she didn't have an airtight case against Trump, as per the appellate court in New York. Here's the way to end this episode. Donald Trump has proved he's a winner. He's a champion. His favorability rating continues to go up, but he needs people on the ground. He needs us to help him. You see, this is what people don't get. They don't get this, right? They love it that he fights. They love it that he's bold. They love it that he's brash, but they don't get that he actually needs help. This is someone who has put it all on the line and won't quit. He has put his businesses, his reputation, his sanity, his family, his livelihood on the line for the sake of the country. And people are just like, yay, right? We love Trump because he's a fighter. Well, guess what, folks? Yes, he is tough, tougher than anyone I've ever seen. And I put him up there with George Washington, putting it all on the line for the sake of the country. But see, I wasn't alive to see George Washington in action. So yes, Donald Trump is tough, but he's still only one person. He needs us to help him. That's what people don't get. That's the thing they're missing. He's not supposed to be fighting alone, and he shouldn't be. He needs us to get in to help him fight for this country to get it back. That's the savage truth for the week. We need to put our ruthless caps on and swing hard. Don't miss and knock it out of the park. We do that, we get our country back. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, in conjunction with being unapologetically ruthless, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.